I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
And
what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good Friday morning. Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Friday, June 4th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. There are no accidents. There are no coincidences. You know, the Moscow rules seem to be in full effect these days. And so it's an interesting, you know, we've talked about this many times, Jordan Peterson telling us how a totalitarian state is actually formed. And there are a number of folks who've commented coming from other places over the last 12 months or so in particular, and they have said, oh my gosh, you know, they step back and they say, and that's been happening obviously for quite some time. It was the basis for the experience which resulted in the book, Naomi Wolf's book, The End of America, Letter of Warning to a Young Patriot, back in 2007, when she said, you know, a close family friend, I believe it was, said, basically, you know, this is a repeat of history, and gave Naomi Wolf, finally, you know, made her sit down and read some books, and she realized that, yes, this is history repeating. And so she, Naomi Wolf, outlined the 10 steps that closing societies such as Hitler's Germany, Mussolini's Italy, and Stalin's Russia have historically followed. And we just keep, this is like a rinse and repeat cycle now. We are stuck on Stockholm Syndrome in America. We're just stuck on this rinse and repeat of invoke a terrifying internal and external threat or enemy, create secret prisons. Do we have, you know, you keep seeing these little articles from time to time. I forget where I saw the most recent. Somebody, you know, two daughters are in the COVID gulag. They are in the, what do you call it? I forget the name. the COVID gulag, and both daughters essentially escape from the COVID gulag. Mom turns one in, I think, and boyfriend turns the other in. I forget. I think that's the way that story went. But you see stuff like that, which is ridiculous. Develop a thug caste or a paramilitary force not answerable to citizens. Set up an internal surveillance system. Infiltrate and harass citizens groups. Engage in arbitrary detention and release, which, again, is like the story that I mentioned. Target key individuals, which has gone further now. It's, you know, appeal to those key individuals to engender their support of the tyranny and have them become a mouthpiece. That's, you know, control the press, yes, obviously. And we've seen that, especially with social media and search. You just, you know, the truth and reality are gaslighted. You can't find them. They don't exist, according to the media. Caste criticism is espionage and dissent as treason and subvert the rule of law. And speaking of the rule of law, this, you know, that's step number 10. There are a number of different things we could point to, but I had a conversation with somebody yesterday who was threatened for not wearing a mask briefly in a store. And they're apparently, you know, there are stores across the country that even in places where there is no threat per se of, you know, no existential threat of harm from this thing that we're told to fear, be afraid, be very afraid. And this all sounds very ambiguous. I think, you know, it's not meant to per se, but what we are threatened with sounds very ambiguous, doesn't it? And it's confusing on purpose, because if you can disorient people, you can control them. You can make them subservient and obedient. But this person told me about an experience in a store where the manager of the store actually said, you need to obey the rules. You need to teach your children to obey the rules. And I said, that was fast, wasn't it? I thought this was America. You know, the rule of law has been subverted for a long time. We could go back perhaps to any number of things, but I would probably go back particularly to the upending of the common law and the court's decision in 1938, Erie Railroad versus Tompkins, when the Supreme Court handed down the decision under Justice Brandeis. He gave the opinion, and the declaration was made that there is no federal general common law. And that was a fundamental shift away from how America had operated. And now we have this conflict of laws. You know, for example, you have, there is the marijuana issue. You know, it's legal in the state, but the feds still say you have this conflict of laws. So what happens? And again, the conflict helps to make people malleable, subservient, and obedient at a certain point. So, through the progressive era, through the administrative era, the big government era of the early 20th century, a lot of things were happening, and the common law was shelved. And again, you know, so Swift versus Tyson, 1842, was established the general federal common law as the law of the land in America, as sort of outlined by the Constitution. And the decision in Erie Railroad versus Tompkins, which was not unique. I mean, I've talked about other cases. One of my favorites is Wickard versus Filburn. And it's painfully obvious reading the decision in Wickard versus Filburn, 1942, that, you know, Roscoe Filburn says, I'm just growing some wheat over here in a corner that is not adjacent to the stuff we're growing that is federally subsidized. It's over here on a corner of my property away from this other stuff, and it has no connection, not physically, not financially, has no connection to the stuff I'm growing that is subsidized. And the federal government said, no, all your wheats are belong to us. Doesn't matter where you grow it, how you paid for it, what you do with it, whether the subject of the regulation in question was production, consumption, or marketing, is therefore not material for purposes of deciding the question of federal power before us. Whoa. So you can just reach in, and this gets back to that peculiar phrase. When the state creates rights in individuals against itself, it is not bound. How does that happen? The state has some invisible ledger sheet? Well, that's, get to that in a second. But when the state creates rights in individuals against itself, it is not bound to provide a remedy in the courts, and it may withhold all remedy. Or it may provide an administrative remedy and make it exclusive, however mistaken its exercise. And that was a phrase loosely used, you know, in parts by Justice Brandeis in 1919 in United States versus Babcock. And he prefaced the use of the phrase and the citations of each part of the phrase. He prefaced in 1919 by saying these general rules are well settled. So that had been happening since at least 1875, Farmers and Mechanics Bank versus Deering. By 1919, Brandeis says these general rules are well settled. And then in 1938, Erie Railroad versus Tompkins, it's essentially codified, and the general federal common law is upended. It is supplanted by the administrative, essentially feudalist, Roman civil law of antiquity. And then, you know, instead of common law and common sense, now we have this feudalist fiat system, as I say, as the feudal lord says. It's very arbitrary, it's very abusive, it's very ministerial and inquisitorial. Who are you? What are you doing here? You have no, you know, what's your business? What? This is not America. And so we've come to a point now where you see people behaving this way, and that was the story that was intimated to me. Literally a person not aware of the mechanics of these kinds of things, and the many, many people that have written about this and talked about it over the years, but behaving precisely according to plan, so to speak, and becoming the tyrannical enforcement brigade in the little fiefdom they occupy. You need to learn how to obey the rules. You need to teach your children to obey the rules. The rules? It's very arbitrary. Who decides? Your feudal lord in the serfdom you occupy. And from there, basically, as they say, the stuff rolls downhill, which reminds me of, among other things, Paulo Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed. He outlined the problem very clearly. And, you know, again, during yesterday's broadcast, I mentioned anosognosia, which is the psychological term for lack of insight or lack of awareness. People say he's in denial. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. When someone rejects a diagnosis of mental illness, it's tempting to say that he's in denial. But someone with acute mental illness may not be thinking clearly enough to consciously choose denial. They may instead be experiencing lack of insight or lack of awareness. This gentleman, manager of a store who shouts at a customer, you need to learn how to obey. You need to learn how to follow the rules. Teach your children how to follow the rules. He suffers from a lack of insight and a lack of awareness. He's been programmed and he doesn't even realize that he is a bot. He's an Autobot, wound up and released out onto the public to become the tyrannical enforcement brigade. And there are a variety of confirmation biases that lie to him and tell him that what he's doing is a good thing. These feedback mechanisms, these Skinner box operant conditioning feedback mechanisms. For example, you know, he does this thing, he gets his corn. And like Mark Twain said, show me where a man gets his corn pwn and I'll tell you what his pinions is. Well, he's forcing his pinions, or not really his, but those which are handed down to him, that he must parrot if he wishes to continue to receive his corn. He's imposing those on others and not aware in the least, suffering from a lack of insight and awareness, not aware in the slightest of what he's doing and how predictable he's behaving. And according to Paulo Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed, this will continue unabated. In fact, it will probably, it's like pouring gas on a fire, it'll probably get worse, because the oppressed then becomes the oppressor, and that's how it works. It works very effectively. Which again sort of gets back to Jordan Peterson talking about all of the books that have been written, like Christopher Browning's Ordinary Men, about this kind of stuff. The ordinary men become the enforcement brigade. They become the petty tyrants and despots. And you think about the lessons of history and all the things that have been said. And Santayana's quote is perhaps the most prescient these days. Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve and no direction is set for possible improvement. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it, or the worst of it. And that's where we are in America. We have a controversial past in America. We've always had the ruling oligarchy, as folks like Aldous Huxley would say. You know, when Joe Kennedy said 50 people rule the country, 50 people run the country, and that's probably a high number. There was that article, what was it? I want to say the late 20s, early 30s, five billionaires bought the country from the millionaires. That kind of thing. So Joe Kennedy told us 50 people run the country, that's a high number. We've always had that, and the ills that come from them have been imputed, projected, you know, transferred. The people have been scapegoated. But despite all of that, we have a rich past, a rich history, as short as it is, but we don't remember it. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back.
Beyond the suns that guard this.
We have a rich history in America, you know, as brief as it may be, on which to draw. Do we? We are encouraged to not remember history. We're encouraged to essentially kind of, you know, that little flashy thing in Men in Black, we're supposed to do that. Blip, you don't remember anything. And it's kind of a Jedi mind trick. These are not the droids you're looking for. You know, that's that history, that past is not the history you're looking for. Well, wait a minute. Here's the flashy thing. You don't remember that. I thought it was interesting, speaking of the past that we're not supposed to remember, James Lewis, James Andrew Lewis, Jim Lewis over at CSIS, Senior Vice President and Director, Strategic Technologies Program. The guy, I still have to go back and dig out that PowerPoint presentation where he said back in 2006, yeah, this whole grain of rice thing, you know, that, I mean, he didn't say it, Aaron Russo, but, you know, the thing that guys like Aaron Russo put in documentaries like America, Freedom to Fascism, the whole grain of rice thing, that's just a sales pitch. It's something to say no to. The real technology we already have, it'll be rolled out at the appropriate time. As soon as the general public has been softened up to, enough to accept, receive, probably beg for what Scott Klosowski talked about at the Global Gaming Convention. We're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables. We're going to. So Jim Lewis was on Fox News yesterday. I didn't hear what he said, but I saw him and I thought, how ironic, because I was just thinking as they were saying, well, this hack, you know, the JBS hack and a lot of the hacks like it are, it's Putin. Well, Maxine Waters, is it Biden a Putin puppet? Because, you know, how else would this happen? And that was interesting. And my mind always goes back to that announcement, Friday, May 29th, 2009, the Warren-only broadcast, to the point, another czar at the Obama White House. They talked about cybercrime and his guests, the four superpowers of cybersecurity, James Lewis, Paul Light, John Arquilla, Tom Kellerman, all old school bad guys. Jim Lewis is kind of the point guy, and every time something like this happens, he's trotted out. And what was particularly interesting to that 36-minute interview was the clip that we play from time to time. We'll probably play it today, where they're having this conversation and they talk about, you know, a lot of these hackers come from former Soviet blocs, former intelligence, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, whether white hat, whether black hat, I mean, basically it's you know, if you dig into the issue, you quickly discover that once agency, always agency, who has means, motive, and opportunity to accomplish these kinds of things. And what benefit could hackers derive? You know, who benefits? What benefit could hackers possibly derive from hacking JBS Meats, the meatpacking company? It's awfully strange, especially when one considers that Bill Gates says, I think we should only eat protein that's grown in a lab, that's created in a lab. That would be the good protein. And it's Soylent Green. It's the, I mean, we should just this protein. As he waves his tentacles around, sometimes sitting on them. And there are accompanying statistics because, you know, how to lie with statistics is a great primer on an important topic. Number games, as Bill Gates would say, a guide to number games. So it's curious timing. What benefit would hackers derive? Oh, well, you know, they get millions in digital currency, which I would say is somewhat of an oxymoron. But really, you know, we have to ask, how could this be accomplished? And the fact that James Lewis has trotted out to talk about this every time something like this happens, whether it's blamed on the Chinese or the Russians or whatever, this is history that keeps repeating itself. And we have to ask ourselves, how does this keep happening? And what is really, who and what is really behind all of this? Stick around. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know?
Welcome back.
Butterflies all having fun. You know what
I... Bottom of the first hour of today's broadcast, this Friday, June 4th, 2021. A lot of folks have warned us. You know, I've said for a long time, three steps, you know, get knowledged up, stabilize yourself, lest you be stabilized and reconstructed. Speaking of guys like Jim Lewis, and take over from the inside out, which is not as insidious as it sounds. It's just, I don't know, plant seeds, you know, talk about things like, well, the money system is this fiat confiscatory inflation system is essential to creating change and basically conquering people, subjugating people. I think of, for example, the picture of, I don't know what it was from, but you know, the old black and white cartoon of the guy on the hamster wheel that Aaron Russo had in America, Freedom to Fascism. And the faster he runs on the hamster wheel, the more of the funny money, not reserve units fly out of his pocket. They're flying out of his pockets, and he's running faster and he's sweating more. That's inflation at work. And it's a way to subjugate people. It's what Jefferson warned about. And so we've, it was, which letter? So Jefferson, in his letter to Samuel Kercheval, right, 1816, July 12, was when he wrote, if we run into such debts, what is, you know, and even Keynes wrote about this, Mr. Bretton Woods himself, in The Economic Consequences of the Peace, published in 1919, he wrote, this is, there is no surer or subtler means to overturn society than to debauch the currency. Jefferson said, and he was the guy who wrote that paper is poverty. It is the ghost of money and not money itself. Well, that's interesting. Mr. Jefferson, if paper is the ghost of money, then what's money? Exactly. That's the conversation we should have. It's not crypto, I can tell you that. So Jefferson said, to nourish and perpetuate the – well, he said, to secure self-government by the republicanism of our Constitution as well as by the spirit of the people and to nourish and perpetuate that spirit. He said, I am not among those who fear the people. They and not the rich are our dependents for continued freedom. And to preserve their independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. I mean, if you're going to argue that Jefferson was an old school bad guy, that he was a Spartacus Weishaupt intriguer, you know, sympathizer and intriguer, then I guess the argument that you make is that he's shining a bright light on the areas that the intriguers would attack. And that's what's been happening. But, you know, the general public has every opportunity to see that same bright light and what it is shining on and say, oh, we should probably preserve that. But, again, this is not the history you're looking for. Be afraid, be very afraid. So he said, they and not the rich are our dependents for continued freedom and to preserve their independence. We must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. That's precisely what an inflation, what a so-called fractional reserve system or fiat currency system does. Loads you with perpetual debt. And according to the 14th Amendment, Section 4, you're not supposed to ask why. Asking questions about that debt is treason. Silence. He wrote, so Jefferson wrote, we must make our election between economy and liberty or profusion and servitude. if we run into such debts as that we must be taxed in our meat and in our drink. Now, when you first read this, it sounds hyperbolic, but by today's standards, it's conservative. This is an understatement today. So he wrote, if we run into such debts as that we must be taxed in our meat and in our drink, in our necessaries and our comforts, in our labors and our amusements, for our callings and our creeds, as the people of England are, our people, like them, must come to labor 16 hours in the 24, giving the earnings of 15 of these to the government for their debts and daily expenses, and the 16th being insufficient to afford us bread, we must live as they now do, on oatmeal and potatoes, have no time to think, no means of calling the mismanagers to account, but be glad to obtain subsistence by hiring ourselves to rivet their chains on the necks of our fellow sufferers. And he went on our landholders too, like theirs, retaining indeed the title and stewardship of estates called theirs, but held really in trust for the treasury, must wander like theirs in foreign countries and be contented with penury, obscurity, exile, and the glory of the nation. This example reads to us the salutary lesson that private fortunes are destroyed by public as well as private extravagance. Do we have public extravagance today in America? I can't believe reading things about, you know, flyovers that are being conducted in flyover states, and people are just applauding it. It's public extravagance, for starters, but also, I mean, it's like an overt display of public extravagance. And, you know, how do you know that it's a good thing? It's an assumption that you make when, in reality, it feels very uncomfortable to me. I think, you know, I have a foreboding of a sort of Red Dawn scenario that is not the Russians or the Chinese per se. The enemy is much closer to home than most people realize. Jefferson continued, this is the tendency of all human governments, a departure from principle in one instance. You need to follow the rules and teach your kids how to follow the rules. Oh my goodness. A departure from principle. This person said, you know what? I'm teaching my children how to stand up for what's right. A departure from principle in one instance becomes a precedent for a second, that second for a third, and so on, till the bulk of society is reduced to mere automatons, to be mere automatons of misery. You know, and misery loves company, by the way. A departure from principle in one instance becomes a precedent for a second. Just ask the Supreme Court. That second for a third, and so on until the bulk of society is reduced to be mere automatons of misery and to have no sensibilities left but for sinning and suffering. Before there was 1984, there was Thomas Jefferson. Then begins indeed the bellum omnium and omnia, which some philosophers, observing to be so general in this world, have mistaken it for the natural instead of the abusive state of man. The Aldous Huxleys would have us believe that the bellum omnium and omnia is the natural state of man, but it's not. It's the abusive state of one abusing another and then the other abusing his fellows and so on and so on. But where does this come from? Jefferson said, the four horse of this frightful team is public debt. Taxation follows that, and in its train, wretchedness and oppression. So, you know, we've had these kinds of warnings. There are other warnings Vance Packard. I've talked about the Hidden Persuaders many times, 1957. And he does a very, you know, the unassuming, unwashed masses don't realize what they're reading because he writes it in such a dry, sort of understated way. But whether it's the Hidden Persuaders, the Status Seekers, the Waste Makers, the Pyramid Climbers, it was the same message. The Pyramid Climbers, a penetrating look at the new breed of hustling, well-packaged executives scaling corporate heights. Interesting stuff. The Waste Makers, how they work on us, how they are undermining our values, how they endanger our future, and what we can do about it. Vance Packard, The Waste Makers, author of The Hidden Persuaders and The Status Seekers. The Waste Makers. The inside of the jacket reads, just for fun, in the continuing study of American society that has resulted in the Hidden Persuaders and the Status Seekers, Vance Packard has become increasingly aware of an even deeper malaise in American life than those so brilliantly analyzed in his earlier books. And so the Hidden Persuaders, 1957, The Waste Makers, 1960. Indeed, hidden persuasion and status seeking may be considered in the last analysis more as symptoms of the sickness than as the sickness itself. For the cancer eating at the core of the American system of values goes deeper than this. Mr. Packard attributes it to the ever-increasing commercialization of every aspect of our lives. He calls it consumerism, quote-unquote. Isn't it interesting? We used to make things ourselves. Now if you do that, you are considered eclectic or something like that. You know, my dad, people called him a MacGyver of sorts. Just made stuff. You know, you got stuff laying around. The World War II generation saved everything, and they scavenged everything, and they, you know, we've sort of talked about this in recent broadcasts and with callers and things. You know, my grandfather, you know, a dozen children in a family wasn't unusual. You know, 10 kids running around to going to school and scavenging through garbage cans to find cardboard to stick in their shoes in the winter wasn't an unusual thing. And somehow they survived and weren't ruined because they didn't have their right to new Nike tennis shoes observed. So, you know, they used to keep everything and use things, reuse things. You know, some of us have grandparents, for example, that would keep the old butter tubs and they would get reused. You're not supposed to do that. That stuff is supposed to go away. You know what? Don't keep it. Recycle it, because then you're doing your part. You're a good person. Remember what Andrew Breitbart said about that? Why does consumerism have to come with this message of, if I shop here or do this thing, I'm a good person? I'm helping society. I'm sure George Bernard Shaw would be very happy, very pleased. So Toffler coined the term prosumer, producer, consumer, good producer, consumer, along the Bretton Woods Marshall Plan lines. We have to have you doing this. Don't worry that it's the beginning of your ending. It will lead to your untimely demise as a society and maybe even personally. Don't worry about that, but we need you to be good prosumers. More, consume more, consume more. Wait, you need a tiny house. You need to stop going out in the woods. You need to be afraid of the woods. Be very afraid. The wilderness. So continuing the jacket reads, consumption for consumption's sake, with no real relevance to the needs and desires of the citizens, is rapidly being exalted into a virtue in its own right, says Packard. One transcending those values that have been revered in the Western world through the ages. This is coming about, says Mr. Packard, through the capacity of America's productive system to produce more goods than we need, resulting in the increasingly frantic effort of industry, its promoters, marketers, and merchandisers, to persuade the buyer to waste more and more. Who makes and keeps anything these days? Everything is a part of the planned obsolescence cycle, isn't it? Think about the plastics and things that have, the plastic water bottles that are paper thin now. They're basically Ziploc bags of water. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's broadcast is Friday, June 4th, 2021. While the highest incarceration rate per capita in the entire so-called civilized world is nothing to ignore. I mean, that's definitely something to address. AOC, the brand, as Justice Democrats have bragged, thinks that or parrots the talking point. She is definitely a mouthpiece and a stooge for the plan and work of the hierarchy, no doubt about it. Whether she realizes it or not is another thing. AOC on fighting crime, more outreach, fewer jails, more outreach. I flatly disagree. People who have enough time to regularly make a sign, and this is, you know, probably the IKEA effect and some other things, because they're encouraged to do these things and sometimes compensated. So people have time to make a sign and staple the sign to a stick and carry the stick to a march or a protest or whatever on a regular basis, probably have too much time on their hands. And as the wisest man who ever lived observed, I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities. These folks don't seem happy. For that is his lot, for who will bring him to see what will occur after him? And so if instead they could be given an opportunity to do something, I don't know, that feels useful and productive, not in the sense that I was just talking about, not in the George Bernard Shaw sense, but being able to stick your hands in the ground and do something that, you know, connects you to reality. I dare say Salvador doesn't have time to make a sign and staple it to a stick and carry the stick to a protest. He's too busy mowing lawns. And he doesn't seem to be obsessing about these kinds of problems. I think that his activities, I think you would say nothing is better. You know, even though he puts the sweatshirt on with the hood over it and draws the face of the hood closed tight so the clippings don't get all over him, and it seems like it would be, you know, he'd probably suffer a stroke from the heat. He seems to be perfectly happy, and he always says thank you for work when he leaves. Pretty remarkable. I think this is the antidote in large part to what ails us in America. And, you know, people use the phrase be the change you want. I don't think they really understand what that means. I think what I would, the insight that I would offer to that is, you know, yes, things can change, but it's not just that simple. It's kind of like saying, I'm going to be an Olympic gold medalist. There's a little bit of work that goes into that. And you have to do the work if you want to derive the benefit. You can't do that on good looks and charm alone. And in the personality ethic era in America, instead of the character ethic era, we confuse the two and fool ourselves into believing that we can derive character ethic benefits from personality ethic behavior, and it just ain't so. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.